Good morning. This morning I'm reading the scripture reading from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 12. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if you have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this pursuit of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Blessed be his word.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord our God, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for gathering us in your presence. We thank you for the church, the family of faith. We praise you for music and being able to lift up our voices as a way of giving you worship and praise. We thank you for forgiveness of sins through your Son Jesus. Thank you for inviting and welcoming us to your table again today. But now, as we have listened to your word, we are thankful that you still speak to us in these times and in these days. So may we all, through your Spirit, be able to open our hearts, open our minds to receive your message for us this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let me start by asking you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you say, how content are you in general? Does anybody want to give me a number? Anybody willing to do that? A 9. Anybody else? 9. 8. Maybe we should just say amen and go on. thank you. So I appreciate you sharing that with me. You see, we are constantly bombarded by images and messages from the world telling us about the things that we need to be happy and content. And the world is constantly telling us not to be content. Every day we receive countless messages about how we need to have more or better or newer. How what you currently have is just simply not good enough. For instance, think about how algorithms will tailor ads to you personally. I click on a picture of, you know, the new iPhone on Facebook, or I do a search on Google, and all of a sudden offers and articles on why I need it and how great it is just shows up, you know, in everywhere, on my news feed, on my phone, on my Instagram account, whatnot. or you're buying groceries and you have your list, and then the end caps in the store make you think, well, you need to buy something else that's not on your list, right? I think it's normal, natural, to seek contentment. And I think we're all tempted by the world around us to find that contentment in stuff, or maybe an idealized kind of life, or maybe some kind of achievement. And yet Paul, the great apostle Paul, tells us that true contentment lies elsewhere. He says, you know what will happen if you find your contentment in God instead? He says it'll change your perspective, specifically your perspective on money. It'll free you, so you no longer see worldly riches as all important for your happiness, but rather as a tool to be used in your life. Now, we're busy with a series called Generous, and it's about the joy of giving as we move into Thanksgiving. The beauty in giving. And last week we talked about worry and how worry does not serve us, and how trust in God can help us to overcome worry. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young leader by the name of Timothy, and he's trying to impart some wisdom. And so he says, Timothy, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. And whenever I read that verse or hear that verse, I always think of the guy who asked the question, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? Have you? I haven't either, but so Paul says to Timothy, you know what? Religion, faith, makes your life rich by making you content with what you have. And he goes on in verse 8, and he says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. We should be satisfied just to have food and clothes. If we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, that's kind of enough. So what he's talking about is God's provision for you and me, how he provides for our basic needs in life, how he provides for what we need to survive. And what Paul is doing is he's drawing a distinction between being provided with the basics and being content with those basics, and the desire to accumulate riches and excess. So you say, well, you know, if I lived a very simple life somewhere in Africa, that might be true. But I live in America, and I need to make house payments, and I need a car to get around with, and I need a large screen TV for entertainment in the evening, and a smartphone to keep up with, you know, the social media and on and on. And of course, that is true. It is true. But the question that remains relevant, whether we're living in a remote village in Africa or in New York City, is this. How do we define riches in our lives? Or putting it in a different way, what do we want to be rich with? What is true gain when we talk about our own lives? And what the wise Paul is saying is to the young Timothy is, hey, you know, there is great gain in what? In godliness combined with contentment. And so he talks about godliness and he talks about contentment. He says, serving God makes you rich if you're satisfied with what you have. So I want us to zoom in just a little bit more and see what we find. You know, what does this godliness and contentment look like? I mean, first of all, what is godliness? So theologians talk about orthodoxy and orthopraxy. And godliness, or a devout life, does not only involve orthodoxy, meaning having the right doctrine, having the right beliefs. It also involves orthopraxy, or right living. In other words, faith is about more than what we know. It's about more than what we simply believe. It is also putting into practice what we believe. And an important part of exercising our faith is about living with an attitude of trust in God. And through that trust in God, embodying and expressing contentment. So listen, that's not something, you know, that just happens all at once the moment you become a believer or the first time you come to church. This is something we really have to work at. It's something we grow into by way of spiritual habits and practices. Paul said some people have left the faith because they wanted to get more money, but they've caused themselves much sorrow. But you run away from all those things. Instead, live in the right way. Serve God, have faith, have love, have patience, have gentleness. Those are the things we need to pursue. Those are the things we need to work on in life. Those are the virtues we can grow in when we prioritize our relationship with God, when we work on living out the faith that we profess. And that's what godliness is, to serve God, to have faith and love and patience and gentleness in our lives, endurance. And God's word says there is great gain in those things, great gain in godliness, combined with contentment. So let's talk about contentment. Contentment does not describe an outward state of affairs like being rich or being wealthy or being powerful. Contentment is not about always being happy. We can't always be happy because life happens and it's not always moonshine and roses. Life is not filled with only happiness and bliss, and I think we all know that. So contentment is more of an inward state of mind. It's more a sense of being satisfied with what we have. But the sense of being satisfied is deep, and it's something that comes from God. And just like with godliness, it's something that we have to work on over time. Finding contentment in God is part of sanctification, or part of growing in grace. But the world continuously tries to pull us away from contentment in God. We're constantly tempted to look elsewhere for contentment. And that's why Paul, you know, writes in verse 10, the love of money causes all kinds of trouble. Some people want money so much they've given up their faith and caused themselves a lot of pain. So talking about money and pain, John D. Rockefeller said, I've made many, many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. According to Andrew Carnegie, millionaires seldom smile. And Henry Ford said, I was happier when doing a mechanic's job. Now, personally, I've never made millions, you know, so I can't really say, okay? But the wise and godly Apostle Paul says, the lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. And going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely. And in the end, they live to regret it bitterly ever after. Now, I want to point out something, and that is that this verse has been misquoted and misunderstood too many times to count. So please notice that it says the love of money causes all kinds of trouble. It's not money in and of itself that causes all kinds of trouble. Money is not the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money, the obsession with money, is the root of all kinds of evil. If you love money and pursue it above anyone or anything, it can be self-destructive and it can be harmful to the soul. And so part of us growing in grace is to develop an attitude towards money that honors God and serves others. So money is really a tool to be used for the greater good. It's not something to be accumulated for its own sake. John Wesley, he had much to say about this. In his famous sermon, The Use of Money, he said to earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. And he didn't just say it. He modeled this in his own life. He was one of the richest people in London with liquid cash from printing and publishing, but he used that money by giving it away. Even to the point that at his own funeral, he specified that people without homes should be hired to bury him rather than the professionals. I guess they did just as good a job. But every year he lived on £10, no matter how much money he had or made, because he wanted to leverage his resources for the greater good. So last Sunday, I challenged you to start a gratitude journal, even if it's just for the duration of this series called Generous, even if it's only for this month until Thanksgiving. But to start a gratitude journal and to write down some things that you are truly thankful for in your life. And maybe to share that with some people. And maybe some themes will appear for what you are really grateful for. So going further, I want to challenge you to also reflect on what really makes you content in life. What makes you content as opposed to what you think will make you content. Focus on the things that bring you a real and deeper sense of contentment. Because there's always going to be a next model of whatever you have. So, in addition to that, as my teleprompter went dead. In addition to that, I also want to challenge you to do what John Wesley said. What is an area in your life where you can maybe save something this week? That is a luxury or an unnecessary in your life. Maybe it's like two pumpkin spice lattes less at Starbucks this week or whatever. And then why not use whatever you saved and add it to your giving next week? Whether to the church or whether to some other worthy organization. Something to think about. So let me end with this verse. As we live out our faith, as we put it into practice, as we gain godliness combined with contentment, let us continue to fight the good fight of faith, grabbing hold of the life that continues forever. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness of your word, for how it applies to us in these days we're also living today. And we all struggle with things. We all feel the need for material things and specifically for money. But help us to not love those things more than we love the people in our lives, than we love you. May our relationship with you and with others be the main focus of our existence. And may material wealth or money be simply for us a tool that we can use for the greater God, greater good, use for building your kingdom. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.